Hello, and welcome to FinTech Impact. I'm your host, Jason Pereira. Today on the show, I have Ryan Van Gorder, CEO of Opto Investments. Opto Investments is a tech-driven private market solution built for wealth management community to help basically deal with the fragmentation and fracturing of information in the private markets. And with that, here's an interview. Ryan, thanks for taking the time today.
Hey, happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Jason.
My pleasure. So Ryan Van Gorder of Opto Investments, tell us about Opto.
Absolutely. Private markets, which have been around forever, are now becoming a more critical component of modern wealth management as we know it, and really a source of true practice differentiation. So advisors and CIOs within that infrastructure are using Opto to unlock alpha potential of private markets for their clients. We're bringing that to them through an aligned and partnership-driven model where we guide fiduciaries through every step of the process. Holistic portfolio construction, advice, intuitive workflows, which are going to streamline administration, branded and customized solutions on behalf of the advisor, and hands-on guidance based on needs of their practice and their underlying clients.
Excellent. Okay, so we're going to dive into that, but talk to me about how the company came to be.
Sure, absolutely. Opto was founded by tech entrepreneur Joe Lonsdale, who exists as the chairman of our company. And in 2020, he also runs ABC, a venture capital firm, which has a build program. We were born out of that. It's an incubator. His vision for us, and which stands today, is to build a modern tech-driven private investments platform that's really based on alignment and interests with clients. In September 2022, we came out of stealth with one of the largest Series A fund rounds, $145 million. And we came out of that stealth with about 80 RIA relationships. Now we're north of 200 or 250 actually across the US. Now, sort of where we're going with that is giving all these independent RIA firms access to a vast array of alternative opportunities across private credit, private equity, real estate, venture capital, and other hard-to-access asset classes. With access to exclusive alternative managers, Opto is bringing advisors the help that their clients need to have diversified and customized portfolios.
Yeah, if you were publishing the video, people would have seen mine in that crane at $145 million, because that's one heck of a fundraising round on a Series A, my goodness. All right.
It's a biggie.
I'm working backwards on your revenue then. So it's well done. Okay. You had 80 RIAs, enough size, enough big ones in there, and I can understand where that's coming from. All right. So we talked about the history. Let's talk about what the problem, how you defined the problem initially that you were trying to solve with this company. We can talk about basically coming back and how you fixed that.
Absolutely. Sort of aligned with our mission and vision, we're really trying to bring technology to investors and advisors to confidently invest in the private markets. The confidence of investment in the private markets is take away the opaqueness and allow advisors to peer into the private markets and know that they're going to make what they think is a good investment versus a bad investment, rather than it be a binary outcome, like I'm in the private markets. We're doing that on three pillars. This problem is providing access and really some alpha to their clients' portfolios. The three pillars that we're building that on top of are first off, alignment. That is, our incentives, all of our incentives are aligned with our clients. We invest our own capital sort of side by side. We use investment management due diligence. So we don't receive any compensation from fund managers whatsoever. And we act as a true partner without conflict in sort of selection of underlying investments and creating portfolios. Second pillar is what we refer to as more exclusive access. We're more than just a platform. We're a partner for accessing differentiated opportunities and helping advisors build smarter private market portfolios on out of the mega cap and into the real sort of alpha producing potential that savvy investors are looking for to pump their returns. And lastly, the third pillar is tech-driven efficiency. And that's us helping advisors really efficiently build an entire private markets program for their clients. Our platform is going to handle all aspects of portfolio construction, client communication, the entire investment lifecycle. What that means is we're building this extra large workflow that's going to make data connectivity, all that communication connected and exist as one.
Excellent. So let's actually spend some time on each of those pillars. Okay. So the alignment piece, and this is where I can see where you are, I will say, a little bit novel to this space. Because I've interviewed different companies in the private space who are really concerned about the data flow and creating marketplaces and whatever. But the fact that you are co-investing on all of these things seems to be pretty unique. Is there anyone else in that space, or is this something that you guys have just basically said, we're going to put our money where our mouth is?
we don't see a lot of activity in this space. And this is us doing exactly that, what you just said, which is putting our money where our mouth is. So we're, instead of using a structure, a feeder fund structure, which like a demand ticket for digital distribution arms to go out and crowdfund demand and then bring that to a sponsor or GP and then get that level of commitment, what we're doing is a proper level due diligence. We staff an entire due diligence or investment management function. We also support that and or supplement that with two institutional due diligence providers in Axie and LCG. We go out and do the DD in funds, which can exist either in custom funds or on our what we refer to as our warehouse. It's use of our balance sheet where we'll stand as a single LP and make a commitment and bring that onto our warehouse for syndication if clients want to come in and take smaller ticket sizes on a single client standalone basis. Both of those interactions, one is us bringing onto our warehouse and the second being used in a custom fund of funds, allows us to really, as you said, put our money where our mouth is, but stand side by side with the client, have that level of alignment. We don't see it really elsewhere on the landscape.
It takes a lot of capital to do that. And these are, so you're making these, given the VC background, that sort of stuff was happening already. But the fact that you guys have basically now allowed co-investment, I think it speaks volumes in terms of the endorsement you're giving, right? Because a lot of times, and we'll get to this later in terms of exclusive access, a lot of times access and deal flow are the biggest determinants of whether or not you are actually going to have a positive outcome. So the fact that you already had this background and you're co-investing along with a lot of money, I think it's advisor reaction to this has to be incredibly positive, I think.
Absolutely. There's a confidence build there in the partnership that they see with us standing side by side with them. And then also there is, as you're alluding to, some access capabilities that allow us to get in and hard to access, or whether it's timing, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a fund-driven sort of access point. Once advisors understand the power of us being able to go out and act and smooth out transactions, it works in everybody's behalf. And it is, as you alluded to, capital intensive, but that was part of our large fundraise and our business model to basically address the private markets on behalf of the advisors is going to take some time and ability to get away from just distributing product into the sort of outlay of building private market programs. And we're building for the long term and look to build longstanding and long-term relationships with the advisors we partner with.
Excellent. So let's talk about the second tenet around exclusivity. I alluded to it to some degree already. Let's talk about why that's important, both in terms of outcome, but also in terms of appeal to those who would work with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Generally speaking, we see an offering from an advisor to a client from an investment standpoint, having the sort of cliche barbell of cheap beta and access to alpha, depending on how advisors want to achieve the alpha component of their portfolios with the tax overlay. And the private market offering that exists out there in spades, we're actually seeing it as private market beta. So without the differentiation, without the ability to an underlying fund sponsor to differentiate their offering and get into investments that sort of exhibit the power law and allow them to achieve outsized results, private markets are not acting like advisors want them to act, and they're not seeing the return and results that they want out of those sort of illiquid long-term investments. What we're trying to do is seek out, what we are doing is seeking out and finding differentiated access points that align with our partners' investment strategies, and generally speaking, the direction of travel they want to exhibit, and build portfolios that match that and the archetype of their underlying clients to achieve the alpha component of their portfolio.
Excellent. And the last part is, let's talk about the tech-driven piece, because this private markets have been cumbersome from a paperwork standpoint, at least, for a long time, let alone, never mind getting into them, but also in terms of upkeep and maintenance and just communication. So talk to me about how you're using a digital approach to basically smooth this out.
Yeah, so I alluded a little bit earlier to the fact that the workflow we're addressing is very long, and it's requiring us to be very focused on it. So we're very focused on pre-trade, which we're not seeing a lot of work in the pre-trade, but we're going pre-trade through trade and trade execution into managing the investment through the life of the investment. Our goal around this workflow is to make this look and feel like a public market transaction feels to investors, advisors, and clients. That has built some confidence around the fact that they're connected to their investment. They know what's under the hood. The transaction's got some, element of custody register. It shows up on their performance reporting platform. It's got all those sort of components of confidence building. In the pre-trade space, we're focusing a lot on things that look and feel like pacing analysis, the ability to score managers and have an opinion on them, very thorough portfolio construction, all the way from a CIO persona into the advisor persona. So advisors might be looking at portfolios that map to a single client. CIOs might be looking at portfolios that map to an archetype of many clients within their firm in its entirety. We want to arm all those personas. When we get into the trade and trade execution, we want to be able to process a high volume of subscription documents in an amount of time that makes people's jaws drop. And we're doing that. It's happening today with some closes. We're watching that historically, and in the future, we're going to watch this happen at a clip that people haven't seen before. And we have aspirations to keep bringing these transaction and processing times down and into a digital space that we don't need three or four different providers of tech to get into our tech stack to translate PDFs into numbers, and then numbers into fund admin space, and then fund admin space into custody acceptance, and then custody acceptance into the performance reporting tools. We're going to make this sort of end-to-end seamless. The sub-doc process that we're seeing right now is we love native API integrations. We love single sign-on. We love to make things easy, something that looks and feels like the easy button. So we want to pull in all that CRM data. Maybe what we're seeing is the addition of a picture of a driver's license, because that's not in many people's CRMs. Uh-huh. And then execution of subdocs into something that looks and feels easier than anybody's seen, and move that into managing the investment into the tail end of its life. That would be managing cash flows in and out, reporting taxes, the sort of what investors would expect on that sense. So sorry for the circuitous walk through that workflow, but we're pretty excited about it.
It's a lot to cover. So talk to me about the ongoing reporting beyond the paperwork. You talked about tax reporting. What comes back to the advisor through integrations that gets them to be able to see what is going on with these portfolios?
Yeah, so we, like in a normal investor portal, you probably get K-1s. You probably get announcements of return of capital or a capital call. What we're looking to do is just, broadly speaking, connect GPs to advisors. If you're making an investment in a GP through us, we're thinking through what does that look and feel like so that you can, as an advisor, talk to your clients about what's under the hood, what's in the funds, how to manage expectations, try to avoid surprises if you can, and or maintain connectivity with underlying managers. I think, I guess I operate under this like general equation that uncertainty equals anxiety, and nobody likes that. And if we're human and we're anxious, we're going to like think of the worst possible outcome. And we don't need that. We can provide communication and connectivity here in terms of investments and comfort of our end clients. I think we're winning on that front.
Yeah. If I'll tell you this much, if uncertainty did not equal anxiety, then a lot more people would, no one would panic when markets correct. That's for sure, but definitely not the case. All right. A couple of things for you. One of the things that strikes me is, again, going back to the fundraise and how many RIAs you already had on board before you got the Series A. So talk to me about the early pitches to these RIAs that you got on board. That is not a small feat to get 80 in place before you even get to a Series A. What do they see? I know what they see now. Like what they see now is a complete package. But early on, there were promises. So what about what you were doing was the most compelling part of the conversation that made them choose to work with you?
Yeah, I'd say there's a two-part answer to this question. And one is the known, and what's one is the unknown. And the known was how digital distribution or sort of RIA distribution was taking place previously and still is taking place today, which is looks and feels like syndicated or low barrier of entry tickets, lower dollar commitment levels that come with a sort of some promise of efficiency. For us, it was low ticket prices with a lot of efficiency, tying to portfolios and an aligned approach. So that's the known piece. And when we talked to advisors before we came out of stealth and when we were getting input to add lines of code into our build, what we were hearing was that known piece, what advisors knew was in the market, low tickets, big names. We were going to the big name space. The unknown piece is the second offering that we brought is this custom white label and bespoke funds that can come with an advisor's name on it or not, depending on how they want to position it. It can be aligned with a strategy that fits with the archetype of their clients. And it can be the beginning of a program that they build to look and feel like an institutional program that we might see in endowments and foundations or other institutions, which is a vintage approach to investing that sort of builds over time and allows them to sort of build this seamless offering for their clients. So we came out of stealth actually with what we heard from those 80 clients built into the program and more of a work in progress around the custom funds. And when we came out of stealth and people were pumping money through the system on the lower dollar tickets and client by client. What we found is they wanted that scale and efficiency that we were providing through the custom fund offering. And we were always doing it. We just built that sort of layered it into the platform as a next version of our build. That's where we saw a lot of demand and pickup out of the gate and the change in the swing in the 80s. So we always had those two offerings in terms of what the clients were seeing before coming out of stealth and getting these ideas. The fascinating thing was that once our clients and partners wrapped their head around the scale and efficiency they could get out of the custom fund offering, there was a quick swing to that. So that sort of addresses like what we brought out at stealth to your question and a little bit of the change that we saw once we got out of stealth and got some feedback.
Stealth to it. All right. So that's where you are today and you've gotten this far. Talk to me about basically what the future holds. Like, where do you see this going? What do you want? What are you working on developing as we speak?
Yeah. Super excited about the future, particularly our build and development. So this long workflow that I just talked about touches a lot of points. There are points in that workflow that cause a lot of investors, advisors, operations, a lot of angst and issues. One I already talked about, which is connectivity to the NGP. So we're doing a lot of work on our investment management tech tools and capabilities in terms of how we're initially getting connected with funds and sponsors, and then also how we're building on that to provide connectivity to the underlying advisors. So I alluded a little bit to that already. Super excited there. Another focus of ours right now is legal tech. So we're cycling through a lot of funds and thinking through this idea of what fund formation looks like. Each point in our workflow lends itself to a ton of tech implementation, a ton of efficiency, and we'd like to roll that straight through to the clients. That sort of legal tech space and the amount of volume we're seeing in fund formation, we'd love to take whatever people's expectations are, let's call it 3 to 6 months on spinning up documents for a fund. That's the limited partnership agreement, investment management agreement, maybe a PPM, these sort of documents that safeguard clients and advisors and managers and are a hurdle to getting into the private markets. We want to take that down to something that looks and feels like a couple of weeks. And there's an easy button for that because we believe that we get enough partner clients through this that we can build the confidence that like we have something in place that protects end clients, advisors, and Opto in the partnership that we're trying to create as we go into the private markets. Those are two examples of the sort of diligence tools and getting in from an investment management perspective and the legal tech tools, but really also super excited about that whole workflow, like continued tech infrastructure across our trade and trade execution. And we love the investment that we're having upfront in the pre-trade, which is really arming that confidence piece. That's probably what gets me the most excited.
Excellent. All right. So before we wrap up, there's three questions I ask everybody on a positive note. The first one is, if you had one wish needing a change in your company, the industry as a whole, what would it be?
One wish I could change in my company or the industry.
Yeah. It stumps a lot of people.
Yeah. I think what I would say is access to information, because I love information. More transparency and access to information in the private markets, because right now it sits under the guise of a couple of companies that have ran out first and captured it, but it's still not awesome information. That's part of the efficiency that we're adding to the system. But if there's one thing, it would be to have a little bit more transparency and awesome data, because that would make things a lot more exciting out in the private market space. And it would probably benefit companies that are capable and willing to move fast, but also evidence the claims that they're making out into the public. As we think about how the registered investment advisor community is getting served, like, we would like fiduciaries to serve that community, and we'd like to be a part of that.
Excellent. Good answer. And data access is a not uncommon request on this podcast, regardless of the field we're talking about. Second question for you. What's been the biggest challenge in the company where it is today?
I'd say one of the biggest challenges, and it's not, there's zero rocket science here, and it's probably resilient across all companies, is that maybe not all companies, but we're really bringing together technology and financial services in the form of asset management. And I think personally, coming from a large asset manager who's got a little tech influence in it, the form of BlackRock where I came from, bridging that gap can be a chasm. We've had a nice tack that doesn't come without challenges, but for us to be a tech company first means things have to change, and we want to change them. And I think we're doing a really good job of it. And it's a challenge that I'm eager and happy to accept and keep forging for, but we're doing a really good job and bringing the geek mindset and thinking about financial services just a different way. And everybody who's on board today is excited about us basically trying to use that challenge as a catalyst to reshape how end clients are accessing the private markets. Hopefully that makes sense.
No, that does. That's given the context of where you're coming from, totally makes sense. The last question is, what basically is it that excites you about what it is you're working on and keeps you getting out of bed in the morning to fight the good fight?
Oh, yeah. I love that nothing that I do feels like work, and I get up excited to charge on a daily basis. And I would say deep in my heart, I'm a solutions provider. Sometimes I'm told that I should just listen a little bit more. My wife's also okay with me providing solutions. And to that extent, what gets me excited is that private markets are riddled with inefficiency, and we've got the opportunity to provide solutions to that inefficiency everywhere we look. There's so many things to do. We get so excited about it. It's a space that's been solved with people and process. I saw it firsthand at scale. And I love the idea that we're bringing technology to fix a bunch of blazing holes in what's being asked in access to the private markets with technology and something that's scalable and people can understand. And we're going to make a lot of people's lives easier as a result. So that's my 2 cents on what keeps me excited and moving is solving problems.
Excellent. And plenty to solve in this space. So well done. So thank you very much for your time, Ryan. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jason. This was nice to talk about.
So that was Ryan Van Gorder of Opto Investments. Hope you enjoyed that podcast. If you're in the market for this kind of platform in the US, please take the time to check them out. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, take care.
This podcast was brought to you by Woodgate Financial, an award-winning financial planning firm catering to high-net-worth individuals and their families. To learn more, go to woodgate.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, or find more episodes at jasonperera.ca.